Isn't God amazing? I don't know, I've been a Christian probably, you know, I might tell my age again, but, you know, I'm guessing 40-some years. And we'll just leave it at that. But, you know, how do you ever get tired of Jesus? You don't. He's just like that song says, newer and newer and fresher and more beautiful every day. You know, it's just amazing how incredible God is. I just love Him more today than ever before. And I trust that's where your heart is today too, that you just love Jesus with all your heart. Yes! Praise the Lord. Well, we are honored today. Longtime friend, been a friend of her dad actually for a long time, Norm Redlich. But Chelsea Wood is the director of Hope for Women Pregnancy Services. The new offices have been christened and opened down in Ribbon Cut, downtown in Parkwood Mall. But we are honored to have her here today. She's also a Pentecostal Assembly of Canada credential holder. You know, she's one of us. Tiffany and I, so we're gurus together, but just so great for us as a church family to be tied in, not around the world as well, but also in our own city, that we have the tie-in to minister to people through ministries that are working in our city effectively. So trust you'll hear her heart, and I'll come in later, but would you welcome Chelsea as she comes today to speak.
Hello. Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Perfect. Well, I have never been called a guru before, so that's fun. I can add that to my resume. Guru. Yes, as Pastor Rich mentioned, I did grow up in this church. I recognize some of you, but not all of you. And those of you at home, I don't even know where the camera is. There. If you're at home and you recognize me, hey, and if I don't know you, nice to meet you. And nice to meet everyone here as well that I have not met before. Pastor Rich has asked me to share a bit about myself, my heart for ministry and community and what I'm doing now. So born and raised in this church, and right out of high school, I left for Summit Pacific College down in Abbotsford. I did come back one summer after college to intern here, and then I was gone. I was like, the Lord has taken me out of Prince George. Yes and amen. I will visit family, but I'm not coming back. Well, surprise! That boomerang effect that pulls you home. Here I am. But I'm happy to be here. The Lord has put Prince George back deep within my heart. And my roots are going deep, and I'm ready to put down some new ones. So, yeah. Growing up, I was involved in various areas of ministry. And I felt like I was called to ministry, but never per se in the regular pastoral role that would be within the church. It's not what I felt like I was called to. And the areas of ministry that I've been involved in have all been outside of the regular church setting and more focused on community outside the walls, I guess. So a snapshot of what I've done is after Bible college, I went to Montreal for a few years, and I worked there in the district office in the youth department, doing outreach for different youth groups and overseeing different events in the community. And then later on, I went back to Abbotsford. I'm noticing a boomerang effect in my life here. I'm back in Abbotsford at Summit Pacific College, and I was doing public relations for them and helping to pour into the lives of the young people that are being trained up to do all sorts of ministry. After that, and most recently before this, I was at Broadway Church in Vancouver, and I was overseeing their ministry called City Reach Care Society. And that's a ministry that's under the umbrella of Broadway Church, but its own separate organization. Anyways, it was an outreach into East Vancouver. And there it kind of met the different needs of the different demographics in East Vancouver. So a few of the programs were Club Freedom, and that was focused on people who are street involved or dealing with addictions. And they were able to meet every Sunday, find a safe place, and just meet where they didn't feel like they were being judged at all. They just were able to have community and a hearty meal every Sunday. Not like soup in a bun, nothing wrong with soup in a bun, but they were getting like roast chicken and roast potatoes and dessert. Everyone loves their pie and dessert. So even the volunteers got to eat, so everyone loved volunteering there. Another program was out of school care, which is pretty self-explanatory. Out of school care for some of the school-aged kids and some of the schools in that community. Another one was the community clothing closet, and that was a monthly used clothing sale where people in the community could get a bag of clothes, and they went through and they would pick out all the clothes themselves. But a bag of clothes for $3 or two bags for $5. So everyone was welcome, and it was a way to just bless the community with clothing. One final one I'll mention is Food for Families, and it was a healthy food bank for low-income families in the community. So that's just kind of some of the demographic of the need that we were meeting in Vancouver. So now I find myself back in Prince George, and this past February I began as the site manager of the New Hope for Women Pregnancy Services that was opened here. There's also two other locations. There's one in Abbotsford and one in Langley. I remember when I was looking for a job and I saw this posting, I was like, you know, your gut is like, oh yeah, you know, so my gut was like, oh yeah. So I did some research up on the organization and I cold called Jared, the executive director, and I said, hi, here's who I am, and I'm the person that you need to hire for this job. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I look forward to seeing your resume and cover letter. So I sent it to him. And I went through the interview process, and just like everybody else, they interviewed some other people, but here I am. So I'm just really happy to be in this position. Some of you already know what we do at Hope for Women, but for those of you who don't know, let me give you a little rundown. Hope for Women Pregnancy Services offers a safe, confidential, and compassionate place for any woman who thinks she may be pregnant. Many of these women may be experiencing an unexpected pregnancy and might be unsure as to what her next steps will be. Our services are free and confidential and include pregnancy tests, options counseling, referrals to community resources, maternity and baby supplies, and ongoing friendship and support. Oftentimes, an unexpected pregnancy can be met with fear, and the initial reaction is just to deal with the problem. Just get it over with, stop it, and it can be forgotten about, and life can go back to normal just as it was before. We want women and their partners to know that they have options available to them. Sometimes all they might need is someone to listen to them tell their story or someone to care enough about them to offer emotional support. For others, there's a real concern that they will not have the financial resources available to raise a child. We address all of these concerns plus many more, and we do our best to provide for their needs and also refer them to other organizations in town who can help. At Hope for Women, we cover all of the options that are available, and this includes parenting, adoption, and abortion. And at first I was wondering, like, why on earth would we discuss abortion as an option? Well, in Canada, it is an option. And therefore, the truth about it is something that we share. We discuss the various types available and what the procedure involves. We share the medical facts. Many people don't realize what abortion actually involves or any of the risks and side effects associated with it. Now, that being said, we do not perform or refer for abortions. If this is the option that the woman wants to pursue, we direct her to speak with her doctor. Until I was working in this position, I didn't realize how much of a hot-button topic abortion is. Nor did I realize just how prevalent it is in our world. Canada is the only Western country that does not have laws on abortion. There's no law that regulates abortion during any stage of pregnancy. This means that an abortion can be performed right up until the child is born. Now here's some statistics for you that most of you probably don't know, but maybe some of you do. 1 out of 4 pregnancies is aborted. That's 25%. About 300 abortions are performed every day in Canada. 4 out of 10 women who have had an abortion, so 40% of women who've had an abortion, say that they were attending church at the time of their abortion. Sometimes we may think that abortion is not an issue that we deal with in the church. Well, it very much is. Just because people aren't talking about it doesn't mean that it's not happening. I have this booklet here called Healing Conversations. abortion and the church. And I'm going to read a letter at the beginning of it, and it's addressed, it says, "Dear Pastor," but I'm going to read it to you as if it's addressed to "Dear Church." "Dear Church, it has taken me some time to write you this letter. Countless times I have sat down to write it, only to walk away from my desk, often discouraged. The words I want to say seem to fall quite short of expressing what is inside of me, but I need your help. Life has become unbearably painful for me. I don't know how to explain this pain to you, although deep down, I really believe you may have an answer of hope for me. The problem is, I'm scared. I'm afraid I'll feel worse if I break the silence. Many days I just wonder if it is possible to heal this wound and be freed of the past. I know that conflicts with what you say about healing and forgiveness, but honestly, it's where I'm at right now. Can you please help me? I have this inkling of understanding that it is here in the church I attend that my hope can be found. Yet, to be honest, I'm not certain I have the courage to open my mouth and speak about my deep regret, secret shame, and disappointment in myself. You see, I've had an abortion. I know I'm not alone. So has that woman sitting beside me. And over there, by the far left door, sits another. I also recognize the woman three rows in front of me. And we have partners who are hurting, some of them sitting here in silence too. There's so much of my story you do not know and might not understand. Sometimes I feel as hidden as the secret I carry. Pastor, church, please start the conversation for me. This request may surprise you, but you see, I need someone to open the door of hope for me. My whole life and the lives of countless other women will change if you will start the conversation for us. You can be the beginning of the healing journey I and others have been longing for. Sincerely seeking help, a post-abortive woman in your community." So I'm here to start that conversation. If you've had an abortion or know someone who has, there is hope and healing. Abortion is not the unforgivable sin. Soon we'll be offering post-abortion counseling at our Hope for Women location here in Prince George. It's offered already at the other two, but I'll be getting some training for that, and then we'll be offering it shortly in Prince George too. If you know of someone who's struggling with an unexpected pregnancy, we are here to help. We focus on providing information so that each person can make an informed choice. We walk with people through their pregnancy journey and also after their child is born. Sometimes that journey is interrupted if a pregnancy ends, but we are here to help on the healing journey if that's something that someone wants. It can often take years before the full impact of choosing to end a pregnancy is felt, and we are here to offer hope and support when that time comes. Just like a pastor can't save someone who doesn't want to be saved, we cannot make these pregnancy choices for others. Our job is to share the truth and offer our love and support. It's the Holy Spirit who does the work. He works on the hearts of people. We must do what he has called us to do, and he will be faithful to do the rest. This pertains to all areas of life and what God has called each and every one of us to do. Pastor Rich has mentioned to me that this is a season where there's more focus on community, you know, reaching out maybe to each other and to people outside of the walls. I know that looks very different in this season of life that we're in right now, but it's still important to look at ways that we can interact with each other and with the community. So one way that you guys have been involved in community outreach is through the baby bottles. And I want to thank you guys so much for participating in this. All the money that you guys have raised and donated will go towards supporting the women and the families who look to us for support. Another way that some of you might be interested in getting involved with us is through volunteering. And it's just myself and my assistant who work at the center, but we're actively recruiting people who would like to serve in varying capacities with us. And there's many different areas that you can help in, and there's also an opportunity for men to get involved, because abortion is not just a woman's issue, but also their partners and their family members. It affects everybody. Besides Hope for Women, there's so many ways to reach your community. I guess one of the things you need to ask yourself is, what is my community? My church, my neighborhood, my work, your city, the list goes on. You can find community wherever you intentionally look for it or ask God to show you. Be open, attentive, and willing for God to use you throughout the day, throughout your communities, in ways that you may be comfortable with, but also in new ways that might stretch you. Even though I felt called to serve where I am right now, I still felt like it was in over my head, and I had a lot to learn. And I still have a lot to learn. For the longest time, and actually still, my theme song for my job is, Jesus, take the wheel. Because it's just like, I don't know. Just, Jesus, you steer the boat. I'll just go where you lead me. The wonderful thing is that Jesus doesn't always call the equipped, but he equips the people that he calls. So if you're willing and you want to get out there, Jesus isn't going to leave you high and dry. He's going to meet you where you are and give you the tools that you need to do what he has called you to do. There are so many ways to reach your community if you're willing to perhaps step a little outside your comfort zone and maybe try new things. This world is starved for love, and people are looking everywhere for it. We are the love, hope, and light of Jesus in this world. Our job is to reflect him to those around us. We may be the only letter from God that these people are reading. So what is your life reflecting? What is it showing? Is it reflecting Jesus? Is it reflecting maybe some other things that might not be as life-giving? Ask God to give you a heart for the area that he wants you to serve in. Ask him to help you love the people with the love that he has for them and to see them through his eyes. Last year when I was traveling in Europe, God opened up many opportunities for me to plant seeds and share about Jesus. Each opportunity can look different. I stayed in many Airbnbs, and I was able to talk with many of the hosts just about different things, and oftentimes the conversation would kind of lead to, oh, so what do you do for work? And I would tell them that I work in a church, and because a lot of Europe is mostly Catholic, the conversation would sometimes lead to, oh, what's the difference between the Catholic and the Protestant or evangelical church? So that would open doors of conversation, or they would say, oh, you're a woman working in a church. Well, that's different. How does that work? Like, they let us volunteer with the kids, but, how does that work? So just doors of opportunity or things like, you know, I don't know what you think about this or this area, but, you know, I believe that God is in control and I'm just trusting him to lead and guide. And notes are great when you follow them. Because they're in here somewhere. Or I could share about my testimony, right? And just share about the countless ways that God has proven himself faithful over and over. One thing you got to remember, too, is it's not always going to look like what you think it's going to. So I remember I was in Croatia at a bus stop, waiting to get on a bus, minding my own business, and this girl comes up to me and starts speaking to me. And so I'm like, okay, I'm listening, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, show me what you want me to say, what you want me to do. I'm thinking she's going to ask for money for the bus or something. But she said she'd been away from home for a while. It was about a year or so. And she'd gotten involved in taking drugs, and she wasn't welcome to go back home because of her substance use. But now her dad was paying for her to get on the bus to go back home. But when she got home, her dad was going to require that she take a drug test. And so her request of me was, would you pee in the cup for me? I thought, well, I wasn't expecting that one. To which I replied, no, I'm not going to do that for you. But I felt like this is a great opportunity to offer some solid life advice. And I said, you know, but if you stop taking drugs, you can pee in the cup yourself. And she's like, yeah, I know. I was like, and you read the body language, and I was like, but I know it's not easy because addictions are hard to kick. So, it's not always going to look like what you think it will, but you just allow God to speak through you what he has words for you to say. And ironically, now as part of my job, I ask people to pee in cups. So that's kind of fun. Funny, maybe. Anyways, just be ready and willing for God to use you in any situation that you may find yourself in. Volunteer in the community, get involved in various places whose focus is on healing people. Figure out what it is you enjoy and find a way to bring Jesus into it in order to share him with those around you. It's like that song we just sang at the end there, you know? I don't remember the words, but it's something about Jesus and sharing the love of him with those around you. One way that I'll mention that you can get involved more in your community is coming up October 23rd. We're having our virtual fundraising gala. And usually we would have a fundraising banquet, but that's just not possible these days. So what it is we're asking people to host watch parties. And that can be done here at the church if the church wanted to host a watch party. Or you can have friends and family over to your house. And it's super simple. You just invite some people over, you feed them some snacks, and then you tune into the website and watch. It's an hour long, and we have a really great speaker lined up. And if you're interested in doing this, you can talk to me about that a bit more after. But it's just to get some knowledge out there about what it is that we're doing, and just a way to help people and love on people in your neighborhood and your community. So that's what I've got to share with you this morning, and just thanks for having me and allowing me to share my heart and a bit about myself and what I'm doing.
Thanks, Chelsea, and I'll get you to come back up in a sec. You know, one thing that I have watched in Chelsea's life over the years is I've seen her journey of what she's done, and her heart is definitely for people, for grassroots, helping those that don't know Jesus. And sometimes it's hard for all of us to engage with the lost or share our faith, or be active in our faith. But I love what you said there about the fact that, you know, it's simply we have to be available at any time. You know, that would be interesting to be asked to pee in a cup for somebody. But, you know, that's why I think the church, we have a value system that says connect with God. Because in order to be effective in reaching people or being available in those moments at bus stops or other times at work or school, is that we're connecting with God. We've got to know him. We've got to have his heart. We've got to have his spirit in us, because it allows us then to be available in those moments. And the reason why we connect with each other is that we can champion each other and challenge each other, help each other, hold each other accountable, you know, pray for one another so that we'll endure the race that we're in and the life of the Christian and of God's calling in our life. And then we, of course, connect with our neighbor because we're available, because we know God. We've helped each other be prepared. And then we connect. And Matthew 5 is so pertinent today. You know, Jesus saw the crowds. He went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth, began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, because they're going to be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called the sons of God. And bless those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, blessed are you when people insult and persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And you are the salt of the earth." You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And the light of the world, is a city is set on a hill, cannot be hidden, nor does anybody light a lamp and put it under a basket and cover it, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What a powerful scripture, and this is the essence of the faith that Jesus taught the disciples and the people in those days, and he still teaches us today. You see, Jesus once said, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're one. You know, if you see me, there's no debating what the Father looks like. and his essence and his personality, his character, because if you see me, you've seen him. Now, it's not on the same scale level, but really the gist of the New Testament church and the whole theme of the New Testament is that if people look at us, they should see Jesus. There's that building up of our lives that's going on so that we're not just becoming this different type of person or a better person, but we're becoming more like him. And so when people look at us, they see the saltiness of our faith in our life. When people look at us, they see the light. You know, in the New Testament culture, when Jesus told this parable, this story, you know, in their homes, they had small lamps. And in order for it to bring light to the house, they had to set it up higher on tables or whatever they had, but it had to be lifted up higher. And that's the same analogy Jesus is bringing to our lives, that we don't hide our faith. We don't hide the love that God has in our heart. We don't hide the peace of God in our life. We don't hide, you know, the light, the salt of our faith, but that we illuminate it as we become more like him. That's the call. And that's what Prince George and the surrounding areas need. They just need to see more of Jesus. And that's how the gospel works, the kingdom impacting us, because we are the kingdom of God to this earth, to this world, to this city. And I am so hopeful in my life and in your life that that's what God will continue to do with us as a family, that we'll become more light, more salt, and that we'll be more impactful in our city, because God needs us to be, because he loves us. Everyone, do you hear that heart today? Do you pick up the challenge, you know, of what God wants to do in and through our lives? It's about the kingdom of God growing and people coming to know Jesus. And you know, it might be simply them not even coming to faith, but finding hope when they need it. You know, when they're in situations that are desperate, and we all know that people are in situations that are desperate. That's why I like to shout out to our nurses. You know, they're laying hands of mercy on people all the time, bringing them through their darkest times. You know, that's the kind of heart that we need as a church, the heart of Jesus for people. Isn't God amazing? He loves us. You know, he loved a young couple way back in England. You can't see them on camera. Paul and Shirley Elderton are here, back from pastoring and helping out the Hickson Church, and back in our midst. And God called them to pastoral ministry and then missionary ministry. They came all the way to Canada, and they've been all over the north here, you know, pastoring and helping people come to know Jesus. You know, that's what God wants to do in your life, introduce people to Jesus. Take a moment. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for us all, you know, that we really will become greater light and salt. But I'm going to invite Chelsea and Tiffany, if you can, you don't have to stand together, obviously, but if you could grab Tiffany the bottles, and if you can just sort of make your way out in the front here a bit. If you've not returned your baby bottle and have it at home, their fiscal year end is September 30th. You can still get it into us before then. But after that, as you return it, your donation will be taxed on the next year, not this year, your receipt. But we want to pray and pray for Chelsea, for the hope for women. And we want to pray for the bottles and to magnify and multiply the finance. But can I invite you to stand here in the building? And if you're at home, you know, lazing back on your lazy boy chair with your cup of coffee, if I could get you to stand as well, just as a symbol of being together with us and united. But let's pray and ask God's blessing. Yeah, God, we thank you today. Thank you, God, so much, because every one of us, God, in faith have been impacted by the gospel. God, we have received the good news. We have received eternal life. God, we have been given the ability now to be children of God. And God, you've given us destiny, and in that destiny you've asked us that as we have freely received from you, that we would freely give, God. That we would give our lives completely to the gospel, to the kingdom of God, for others too to know the love that you have for them. So God, would you continue to refine our lives, make us more like you? Would you continue, God, to let our light shine, our light of faith and compassion and love and mercy that you have for this world would be our mercy for this world? God, strengthen us with your Spirit and make us available in a moment, God, to just be light or to speak light whenever we need to, God. And we just pray your blessing on Chelsea, as she directs the Hope for Women Pregnancy Services here in our town. We ask, God, that you continue to bless her with your Spirit, that she be completely and continually filled with the Spirit, that, God, you'd give her amazing and powerful and depthful wisdom, God, to lead this ministry. God, and that in every circumstance, as she leads or she talks individually to people, you would just give her knowledge, wisdom, God, and discernment. We thank you, God, that you give her everything she needs to work for your glory and honor, God. Bless this ministry. Make it visible in our city, God. Give it favor, God. You do that. You give favor, God, to ministry, to people. So we're asking for your favor, God, to be upon that place. We ask you, God, to bless it abundantly. Lord, the baby bottles that we will give to Chelsea today, symbolic, God, of us just being involved and partnering with them, God, in our city. So, Lord, multiply their funds. God, even as they do this fundraising banquet, I pray, God, that it'll flourish beyond their expectations, God, that they'll get more funds in than ever before, God, in the midst of having to do it online. So, Lord, bless them, bless her, and God, bless us, we ask, in your wonderful and powerful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Chelsea, for doing what you do in our city. And thank you for the ministry. And be blessed.